Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for your word and open our hearts to you this morning. And as we are in these last five psalms, they're all praise psalms, but each one has a little different way of praising you and honoring you. You're so awesome. So guide us now as we proceed this morning, led by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin with an old hymn here. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. This one's 20 verses. I think we can divide it in a little bit at any rate into the first six verses. So let's read the first six verses and then we'll look at it line by line in a bit. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Again, these last psalms, as you know, all begin with hallelujah and close with hallelujah. Or in English, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts down the wicked to the ground. So looking at these first six verses by the way, if you look through this psalm, how many times do you think you'll find me or I in it? Well, it's zero. Isn't that nice? I mean, this is so refreshing. Get our minds off ourselves a little bit. How many times is he or his in this psalm? Well, I counted 31. So we have praise the Lord, for it is good. And then he says, for it is pleasant. Both of them have a reference basically to being home in a way, and the good feeling and the pleasant feeling of just being at home. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about praising, though. Praising the Lord, to sing praises to our God. It is good to sing praises to our God. We have a good God, don't we?
Yes.
And I don't think we ever sing enough praises to him. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. So most see drawing back to Israel in that verse, and it could be thinking of the time of Nehemiah, it could be thinking of the time of David, it could be thinking of the various times when people would be drawn back to Jerusalem. Of course, we're thinking about the end times now for the church and for the many that have already come back to the land, but they haven't turned to the Lord yet. They're living there, but they still haven't fulfilled the total prophecy of turning to him, but they will at the end of the tribulation, those that survive. Verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I'm going to read verse 4 with that because I think they go together by contrast. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Let's go to verse 4 first and then come back to verse 3. How many number of stars are there? Oh, depends on when you went to school. There's a lot more now than there used to be. Actually, it depends on the latest telescope. Up until more recently, when they discovered some more stars, it was estimated 10 to the 25th power. That's a trillion. I'm sorry, 10 trillion trillion. Now, if you can get all those zeros in mind, 25 zeros, 10 trillion trillion. That's a lot of stars. Now, if he names them all. He calls them all by name. Now, just if you would think of this, if you would name the stars three names a second, how long would it take you to name them?
Billions of years.
It would take you 10 billion billion years. He spoke it all at once. It didn't take him any time at all. But if he can remember 10 to the 25th names, 10 times 0 to the 25th power names, you think he can remember your name?
Yeah.
And that's just our galaxy. There's four galaxies.
He calls them all by name. Now, when you go back to he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, you think he's limited to how many he can heal? I checked this morning, we're estimated to be at 8.2, rounded off, 8.2 billion people right now on the face of the earth. Think how many brokenhearted people there are out of 8 billion people. Yeah. But compared to it's infinite. It's nothing, really, because he counts all the, just think counting all the stars and marrying them by name. And then just to summary, phrase here in verse 5, great is our Lord. Think about that word. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. Now, I don't think you can identify great to that extent or think about that might because it's so beyond anything we could ever dream or think of. But great is our Lord and mighty is power. I like the word our in there. That's a very big word. He's our Lord. He's not that the distant Lord out there that has no connection with us. He's our Lord, and he's great and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Think of that. But God, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the problems I'm having.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, what's wrong with you? You don't understand.
What's wrong with us?
Isn't that ridiculous to think that?
That's true.
His understanding is infinite. Our understanding is finite, and for some of us, that's really pretty small. It's really small. It's finite. It's very, very limited. You know, Lord, I have this all figured out now. You got to do it my way. Oh, God forbid. Now, this is amazing. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts down the wicked to the ground. So think about all the high flyers today that are envied by the world. If they don't know the Lord, they're on their way down. If they're his, it doesn't matter how much money they have. That's not the problem of being rich and famous. It's whether they have the Lord or not. But he lifts up the humble, casts the wicked down to the ground. Now that's absolutely, as you know, exactly 180 degrees opposite to the worldview. The worldview is, if you're down, you know, you're worthless. If you're really high, then you're great. And he's working in the opposite way there, is he not? Now, verses 7 to 11, we have more praise and praising for his provision, his protection. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises to the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beasts its food, and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Wow. So as we look at these verses, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises on the harp to our God. That really means we want to be thankful when we praise. We want to praise him every way possible, on instruments, with or without instruments, all instruments basically. Sing praises, sing to the Lord. And he's the Lord who covers the heavens with clouds. Amazing, the cloud cover we have. And how that is used, what? Who prepares rain for the earth? I've told you this before, you probably don't remember the number. How many tons of rain falls on the earth every day? 1.5 trillion. With a T, trillion. We will never run out of water. We will never run out of water. Now, I'm not talking about distribution of water. If you put all the people in one spot, and you don't bring water from anything that falls except on that spot, you're going to run out of water. But if we don't, it's like food. The Lord's providing enough food for the entire world. We're not starving to death because of lack of food. We're starving to death because of distribution and corruption. So don't think we have to worry about climate change any more than we have to worry about how we were created, whether we created male or female. God created us, he knows. But we want to be God and change all his natural laws and try to get everybody to follow what we're trying to do in that control mechanism, isn't it? So we read here, he prepares rain for the earth. Of course, that's where the clouds come in. Because we have, what, 70-some percent of the surface of this earth is water, oceans. That's where the water goes from a liquid to a vapor. The vapor rises, forms clouds. He takes the wind and blows the clouds from the ocean over to land, then causes the moisture to condense in drops small enough that they don't damage the plants and big enough so that they fall without evaporating all the way on the way down. It's amazing. It's just amazing. And then that causes crops to grow, and we have our food from that. Just the cycles and the changes are just beautiful there. So he makes the grass to grow on the mountains. He gives the beasts its food, to the young ravens that cry. Now, the young raven is not necessarily at the peak of the animal kingdom. A baby bird, and the ravens are kind of dirty birds at that. But he's even taking care of the young ravens. He's taking care of them. And so how much more for us, created in his image. He does not delight in the strength of the horse, nor rockets, nor tanks, nor bombs. Takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. So here we are created in his image, but the part that he looks to us for being strong is not our strongest muscles, which are in our legs. He's looking for something that is spiritual, and he's looking for something that is not of physical strength. He's looking for those who fear him, and those who hope in his mercy. Mm-hmm. One illustration I saw, which was kind of interesting, if you think of a surface type of net, let's say for a fishing net, you put corners on that net that will float, right? And that keeps it up. but then you put a weight in the middle of the net to bring it down, right? So you catch whatever goes across or falls in it. So that's kind of what we have here. We have fear and we have hope. If we have fear without hope, that leads to despair. If we have hope without fear, that leads us to kind of just a comfortable, yeah, it's okay, but nothing really very special. So we've got the two sides of this thing here that he's taking pleasure in, that we honor him, reverence him, recognize how great he is, but at the same time, we have hope, that full assurance of his mercy. Just think how sure we can be and should be that we're going to heaven because of what he's done for us. And nobody can stop that. Nobody can stop that. Nothing can stop that. In those who hope in his mercy. So are you really fully assured of that mercy? He's got enough mercy for you? Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. So that basically is a holy city surrounding a holy hill here, really. The holy city is Jerusalem. Zion would be more the mount. That would be more Golgotha. That would be more the holy hill, I would think. But everybody is to praise the Lord. Everything is to praise the Lord. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. So we see there his protection. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. That means he is your protector. He has blessed your children within you. He's protected them. He's blessing them within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with finest wheat. So the provision and protection there. He gives us protection. We note so clearly all throughout particularly the Old Testament, where we see Israel, whenever they turn against the Lord, then the enemies come in, protection disappears, and the enemy comes in from all sides, right? And they're fighting wars, and this war, this enemy, and that enemy, and nothing's changed today. We have all these wars, right? Because we don't have the Lord. We had 9/11 because we turned our back on the Lord, and it's just gotten worse since then, so we know that judgment is coming. But he makes peace in your borders. So how do we get peace? You get that through the Lord. That's it. Fills you with the finest wheat. That is the best of the best. He gives us the best of the best. And then these last verses, he sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. So that's a two-part thing. He sends his commands to us. Of course, he uses nature in that. He uses various things in that. And his word, his precious word, goes very fast. It runs very, very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He generously just throws it out there. He casts his hail like morsels. Like morsels or like food. It's a great weather report. Then who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them and causes his wind to blow on the waters flow. And I think you can see that in the Holy Spirit will turn a cold heart, will melt a cold heart, won't it? And then we have the wind. That can be, think of that as the Holy Spirit too. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. So he sends out his word, melting those hard hearts, sends the Holy Spirit to blow, and then the waters, or you could say love there, I think, too, the fruit anyway, the waters to flow. That's what he does for us. And then as we close here, he declares his word, again, focusing on the word, to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. So this is quite a statement here for a national situation, because Israel is the only one that has that promise. Now, we are adopted in, so anything that's good for the saved people in Israel applies to us as well. He is not dealt thus with any other nation, as for whom judgments they have not known him. So think there of unbelievers. Unbelievers, or you can think of Gentiles if you want in the original. But now there's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The middle wall of separation has been taken down since Jesus. This is, of course, pre-Jesus here, you know, in a way. But he has not dealt thus with any nation, as for his judgments they have known him. And then we say, praise the Lord. Now, how can you praise the Lord for the unbelievers who have not known him? How can you praise the Lord for the nations that do not know him? I don't think that's what that means. I think it means we praise him because Israel does know him and because we do know him, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like saying, well, I wish there were more ways to heaven than just one narrow way. And I'm thinking, I'm glad there is a way. So here, although many of the nations and many of the unbelievers do not know him, we still praise him because there are those who do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the clarity in your word, and there's so many different ways in this psalm to praise you. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for sovereign mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, help us to fear you.
Yes.
Lord, help us to have a rock-solid, living hope, full assurance of salvation. You tell us in 1 John, these things have been written to you that you may know, positively know, that you have eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And so, Lord, for your believing children, we have full assurance, and nothing can change that.
Oh, yes.
Nothing can move that relationship that we have with you, whether it's a war or persecution or physical beating or destruction of the human body or whatever else. That cannot change that we have with you. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you want us to have that close relationship with you, and that you want us to communicate with you pretty constantly, to praise you. Also, you've given us the power of prayer to come before you and praise you, yes, and to make requests as you would lead us to, and that we would be praying this morning for your will to be done perfectly in these various areas. We know you want those prayers to be brought up. We know that you will hear those prayers. We know that you will respond to them.
Yes.
So lead us now, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And to be independent.
Well, we come to the end of the hour today. Let's just arise and sing King of Kings, which is praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, 3 in 1.
breath till that stone was moved for good. For the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning.
Yes.
Father, just reminded by what was brought up about the Muslims, Lord, and help us to just have always on the tip of our tongue the fact that
yes,
you loved us so much, yes, you died for us.
Yes, yes.
And you conquered death.
Yeah.
We know all of the cults, none of them have a God who died for them. They want us to die for that God. And so it's all twisted around, and there's no mercy.
None.
There's no forgiveness. There's no grace. There's no love in the Quran. And so our hearts grieve for those. It doesn't matter the Muslim or Buddhist or whatever, anybody that doesn't know you, they're all in the same boat.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we have the good news.
Yes.
Maybe that just bubble forth.
Thank you.
Yes.
If you give us the words, help us to use the words. If you don't give us the words, we just covered in prayer,
you'll
take care of it, but help us to demonstrate who you are by the way we live.
Thank you.
We ask this in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.